Now let's come to Matthew 16 and verse 21. And let's understand something that you will see here. The disciples didn't understand this. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, at first they didn't really believe it. Because no one has been raised from the dead other than Christ. Now let's begin here in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. You can mark that down, third day. Now Peter didn't believe it. Then Peter took him, began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be done unto you." In other words, he's saying, "Lord, you're so good. You know, this won't happen to you, and we aren't going to let it happen. Well, we'll fight for you so it won't happen." Now notice what he did. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get you behind me, Satan." Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? In other words, Peter was tuning in to the things of Satan, and Satan was right there. That's why he said, "Get you behind me, Satan. You are an offense unto me, for you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." See, because Christ had covenanted that we would die. The whole covenant with Abraham is based upon the fact that he would die. And the whole new covenant is based upon that. That's why we are called Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, there are some people who don't like the fact that Jesus died. All right, let's come to chapter 17. Let's begin in verse 22. 17 and verse 22 of Matthew. "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorrowful." Now let's come to chapter 20 and verse 19. You know, the question is, how many times must you tell someone before they believe it? You know, well, that's kind of true of all of us, you know. That's why we are to prove all things, where to search the scriptures whether these things be so or not, and we are to hold fast that which is good. And sometimes there are things that we have to be told over and over again so we can really get the point. Now, chapter 20, and let's begin right here in verse 17. "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles." Now he's revealing that he would go from the religious authorities of Judaism to the Roman authority, which was actually the conquering ones who occupied the land. And the Jews were actually subservient to the Roman authority. So here he's saying, delivered to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So he told them that. Let's look at another one. Let's come to Mark chapter 9. Gospel of Mark chapter 9. And let's see, here's another account where he told them. And let's pick it up here in verse 22. Luke 9 and verse 22, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer." Now, must means ordained, destined, or necessary, or obligatory to suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. So, man, he's really getting to it here, isn't he? Let's come to Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 9, Mark 9, and verse 31. And let's see where the account is given, where he told him there. Mark 9, and verse 31. Verse 31, "For he taught his disciples and said to them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. And they understood not the saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Since we're here in the book of Mark, let's come to chapter 10 and verse 34. We're going to see the same thing again. Verse 34. Well, let's go back to verse 33. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and scourge him, and spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. So we find, if we look at the Greek, that we're talking about a couple of very important things. It is on the third day, in the third day, and after 3 days, if you look at it. So that gives a very close timeline, because there's only one moment in time when it can be in, on, and after to all fit. And we will see when that occurs. Let's come to Matthew 12 now, and let's see something that's very important. Matthew 12. And here is one where, again, most professing Christian ministers do a sleight of hand, or they try and tell you something to kind of make it appear acceptable that you can get a Friday crucifixion and a so-called Easter sunrise resurrection. But they're stuck with this verse. They do not know how to explain it because it literally means what it literally says. Now let's read it. Matthew 12, and let's begin in verse 38. Matthew 12 and verse 38. That certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. And he said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as, and this means exactly as, Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now that's very clear. It is generally explained by professing Christian ministers that this means parts of 3 days and 3 nights. But notice, it says 3 days and 3 nights, he will be in the heart of the earth. Now I read one example where one man said, well, you know, the darkness that covered the land from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, that was the first night. But you have one big problem. Jesus was not yet dead, because he didn't die until the ninth hour, and he was not yet put in the tomb, but he was still on the cross. So you cannot count that dark part of that day as one night. But that's a sleight of hand that ministers who believe the lies that they have been taught about an Easter resurrection try to justify with a Friday crucifixion. See, because you stop and think of it. A Friday crucifixion, you have one night, which is Friday night, one day, which is Saturday day, second night, which is Saturday night, and you don't even have a day portion on Sunday, because he was resurrected supposedly on a Sunday. But if you go from Friday, you have Friday night, Saturday day, Saturday night, Sunday day, Sunday night, Monday day, and then just before Monday ends at sunset, that's when he would be resurrected if there was a Friday crucifixion. But it doesn't work. Now, let's go back to the book of Jonah, the prophet Jonah. That's back in the Minor Prophets. And let's see something, what it means here, because they will go back there and they will say, well, this was an idiomatic expression, meaning that it really didn't mean 3 days and 3 nights, just parts of 3 days and 3 nights. Well, you can't even get parts of 3 days and 3 nights from a Friday crucifixion to a Sunday morning resurrection. Now, let's read here in the first chapter, the very last verse, Jonah 1 and verse 17. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, and that means literally 3 days and 3 nights. Now let's understand something also very important here. That Jonah, when he finally came out of the belly of the whale and was spewed on land and began to preach and prophesy, he did not say, as I was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Messiah be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. He knew nothing of the coming of the Messiah in the 3 days and 3 nights. Not a thing of it. So that supposed idiomatic expression to explain it away falls on its face, because it means back there literally 3 days and 3 nights, and it means here in Matthew 12 literally 3 days and 3 nights. So that's why it's important that we understand that he was crucified on a Wednesday. And then we will see when he was put in the tomb. Then we will know 3 days and 3 nights later, he was resurrected from the dead, just as he had said. Now let's come back and we'll see one more scriptural reference here. Let's come back to Mark 8 and verse 31. Mark 8 and verse 31, where he talks about the 3 days again. Let's see what he says here. And then we'll begin to put this together. Mark 8 and verse 31. This is what the one verse that we have here, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. So we have 3 days and 3 nights, in 3 days, on the 3rd day, and after 3 days. Now, when you calculate the time, there's only one point in time when that could have taken place. So now let's see, when was Jesus put into the tomb? All right? When was he put into the tomb? Let's come to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. This tells us when he was put into the tomb. It leads right up to that first Sabbath being the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Notice, verse 42, Mark 15. Now when the even was come, or that is, when evening was coming, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly to Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, asked whether he had been dead a while. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And they brought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone upon the door of the sepulcher. Now let's come to the account in the Gospel of John. And let's see what happened there. Gospel of John, okay, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there also came Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus, they wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein never a man had laid. And they laid Jesus therefore, because the Jews' preparation for the sepulchre was near at hand. So Jesus was placed into the grave sometime just as that Passover day was ending at sunset. Then they rolled the stone over it, and he was in the heart of the earth now, and he was to be there 3 days and 3 nights. So let's count this. And then we will answer some other questions concerning the 3rd day also. So let's count this. Wednesday night is the first night. Thursday day is the first day. Thursday night is the second night. Friday day is the second day. Friday night is the third night. And Sabbath day, the regular weekly Sabbath, is the third day. So after 3 days, within 3 days, after 3 days and three nights, he was to be raised from the dead. And that takes you to the end of the weekly Sabbath during the week that Jesus was crucified. Now then, that's the only way you can get 3 days and three nights, because it has to be keyed to the Passover. And the Passover in 30 AD, when Jesus was crucified, was on a Wednesday. The day after that, the Passover day, was the first day of unleavened bread, which was a Sabbath. That's why there's the confusion concerning the Sabbath. Because most people don't understand that there were the two Sabbaths. And Jesus, being in the tomb, began to be in there on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is very appropriate. Because Christ is our Passover sacrificed for us, that we can have sin removed from us. So it's very appropriate that the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was when he began his 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And so we go through, let's just go through that again. Wednesday night is the first night. Thursday day is the first day. Thursday night is the second night. Friday day is the second day. Friday night is the third night. And Sabbath day is the third day. Now, when he was resurrected, we need to understand this. No one saw him. That's why last time we went through and we saw all the places where they came early in the morning on the first day of the week. And the tomb was already open. It didn't have to be open for Jesus to get out of there, because as a spirit being, he can walk through material. But it was open so that the women coming to the sepulcher could see that he was gone. He was raised. And the angel, as we saw, said, "You're seeking Jesus of Nazareth? He is not here. But he is raised just as he said." Now, I just want to review one verse here. Let's come to Mark 16 and verse 9. Because here is one where they go to, and here is one where they say, and it is improperly translated in the New English Bible, the NIV, the New American Standard. They all incorrectly translate this verse because they are reading into it a Sunday resurrection. Now, you can't do that. Anyone who translates the scriptures cannot read doctrine into it, which is not doctrine, it's upheld by the Bible. Now, let's read it here, Mark 16 and verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, comma, that's the way the King James has it. Now, the Greek should actually read this way. Now, after Jesus was risen, because he was risen at the end of the Sabbath, not in the morning on Sunday. And the Greek here is then a past tense aorist participle, which means now after Jesus was risen. And that's where you put the comma, right after the word risen. Then it continues, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Now, that's the way that it should read. Now, almost every one of these translations mistranslate it because they want to uphold an Easter resurrection. You cannot do that. That is contrary to the scripture. That is contrary to the truth. See, Christ is our Passover. He was raised at the end of the Sabbath. And early the first day of the week after he was raised, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Now, that's the true meaning of it. Now, let's look at some other scriptures, because there were some other things that have gone on. And there are a couple scriptures in the last chapter of the book of Luke which gives the appearance and credence to a Friday crucifixion and a Sunday resurrection. Now, that's the reason that I saved this for last. So let's go to Luke, the 24th chapter, and let's read it. Then we will ask some other questions. Are we dealing with a statement called the third day, which is different from the third day that Jesus said? And we will see, yes, that is true. And we will see why it is true. Now, let's pick it up here in Luke 24. And let's begin in verse 9. And they remembered his words and returned, verse 8. They remembered his words, returned to from the sepulchre, and told all the things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed unto them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then Peter arose and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths lying by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. Now, verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. Now, I want you to underline all the things that had happened, because that statement includes things that happened on the holy day of the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and also happened on Friday because of the things that the women did. So all things includes those, as we will see. So you just underline it. All things which happened. Now, you can't leave those out because they happened. Now, verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communications are these, that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering unto him, said, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and you know not the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been him who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all of this, now notice again, all of this, or all of these things, today is the third day since these things were done. Now, you need to mark that, because we are dealing with a different third day here, because this indeed is the first day of the week in the morning, later in the morning, when he comes by and talks with them. And they say it's the third day for all these things that have been done. Let's ask a question. What was done after Jesus was put in the tomb, and when was it done? Because it has to be counted as all these things. It can't be just from the time he was put in the tomb. Because you see, Sunday in that case would be the fourth day. So we need to understand it. So that's why they go here in Luke 24 to say the third day is Sunday morning. But this third day starts from a different time, because other events transpired after Jesus was put in the tomb. Now let's look at them. Let's come here to Matthew 27 and verse 62. Let's see what was done on the holy day, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, Matthew spells it out just a little differently. Matthew 27 and verse 62. Now, the next day, which was after Jesus was crucified, being the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the day that followed the preparation, and the preparation for the Feast of Unleavened Bread was the day portion of the Passover. So this is on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now notice of the things, all these things that happened, here we have an explanation of it. So this is then on a Thursday. Here's what happened. The chief priests and Pharisees came together with Pilate saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." And they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the tomb and setting a watch. So not only had Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus rolled the stone over the face of the sepulcher, which was hewn in the side of the rock, but now they came with a guard on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, being the 15th day of the first month, and they set the guard and they sealed it. In other words, they made sure that that stone could not be moved and that the cracks of it were all sealed up, that he could not get out. Now let's see what else transpired to be included in the statement, all these things. We saw now one day had already expired, coming clear into Thursday. So now, did something happen on Friday? So now all these things include coming up to Friday. Well, let's see that. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, and verse 1. Mark 15, 16 rather. Mark 16, chapter 16, and verse 1. Okay, let's read it here. "And when the Sabbath was passed," and that Sabbath was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, "Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought spices." Now, the only time they could have bought the spices would be on Friday, after the holy day Sabbath, which we saw in John, the 19th chapter, was a high day, a high Sabbath. So they got the spices. So that has to be included in the event. So something happened on Thursday, and something happened on Friday, which is included in all of these things. And you can't start counting that third day in Luke 24 until you have accounted for all things. That's important to remember. So we are going to see, and we'll come back to Luke 24 in just a minute, that where it says the third day there is a different third day than when Jesus rose. And it starts at a different point and ends at a different point. Okay? Now, let's come to Luke 23 and let's see what happened. Luke 23 and verse 56, right toward the end of the chapter there. Luke 23 and verse 56. Okay. Now let's pick it up here, verse 53. "And they took it down, that is the body of Jesus, wrapped it in linen, laid it in the sepulcher that was hewn in the stone wherein never a man before laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on." And that Sabbath is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. "And the women also came with him from Galilee, followed after him, beheld how the body was laid. And they returned and prepared the spices. Now, how could they? You can't do any work on a holy day. So they didn't prepare those spices on Thursday, the holy day. They prepared those spices on Friday after the Sabbath holy day had ended. Now, remember, we come up against another Sabbath, don't we? The seventh day weekly Sabbath. And that's what it is explaining here. They returned and prepared the spices, that is on Friday, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment, distinguishing this Sabbath from the other Sabbath. And as a matter of fact, in the Greek, verse 54 should read, and a Sabbath drew on. Then we saw in Mark 16, chapter 1, how after the Sabbath they bought the spices, and you can't prepare the spices before you get them, can you? So they had to have purchased the spices on Friday, prepared them on Friday, and then they rested the regular Sabbath. Now let's come back here. We're right here at Luke 23. Let's come over here to Luke 24, and let's cover this again. So what we have is this. Thursday, the guard was set and the tomb was sealed, which was the holy day, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Friday, the women bought the spices and prepared them. Then they rested the Sabbath. So Friday, you count Friday, including the last thing that the women did in preparing the spices, Friday, Sabbath, and Sunday. So there you get the third day, which is a different third day than when Jesus said he would be resurrected. And that's where all the confusion comes in, because people do not realize what is being said back here in Luke, the 24th chapter. Now let's go back and read it. Let's go back and read it here again. Okay. And the two of them were going, verse 13, verse 14. Verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. Because, you see, they were with the disciples too when the news came in. They were there when they were preparing the spices. So when they talk about all the things that were done, it includes those things that were done on Thursday and Friday. Then Friday becomes the first day. Sabbath becomes the second day. Sunday, or the first day of the week, becomes the third day. And this is not connected with the resurrection of Christ on the third day, because his third day expired right at the end of the weekly Sabbath. Now, I hope you understand how that falls in line there. Now, let's read on. Jesus came, they didn't discern him, and they said, he come down here, verse 21, but they trusted that it had been he which should redeem Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now, no longer can anyone take this third day phraseology in Luke 24 and apply it to a Sunday resurrection from a Friday crucifixion. It was from the completion of things done on Friday, being one day, resting on the Sabbath being the second day, and then the third day in the morning, Sunday morning, or the first day of the week, they were walking, going to Emmaus. Now, I hope that helps us understand that Jesus was not resurrected on a Sunday whatsoever. So the very first reason that is given by those who profess Christianity, or in the Christian professing religion, that the reason they keep Sunday is because Jesus rose on Sunday. He didn't. He rose at the end of the Sabbath. Now let's understand something very carefully here, and really, really realize it, which is this. Because he rose at the end of the Sabbath, and the tomb was empty on Sunday. And people say, well, then he rose on Sunday. It's not true. And even if he did rise on Sunday, what does that have to do with the Sabbath commandment anyway? Did Jesus rise and say, "Oh, behold, now it's the first day of the week"? No. Remember what we started out. The only one who can change any of the commandments of God is God. And God never, by command, nor by example, nor by inspired teaching to the apostles, at any time, anywhere, any place, endorse Sunday worship as the weekly day of worship. Everywhere the Bible enforces the Sabbath. Now, I realize that this is a little complicated in following through on it. But if you get the two books, the Christian Passover and the Harmony of the Gospels, that will explain it in great detail to you so you can understand that Jesus did not rise Sunday morning. He rose at the end of the Sabbath after being in the grave a full 3 days and a full 3 nights, and his word is true, and God's scriptures are true, and it all fits together, and it upholds everything the way that it should. So no longer can anyone say that Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. Now let's look at this in graphic form. Here is a chart from the Harmony of the Gospels that I have published, and it shows over here the 3 days and three nights in the tomb and the resurrection after 3 days and three nights. Now let's come back over here to the Passover day, which is the 14th of Nisan, the day in which Christ was crucified. And Jesus dies at the ninth hour Hebrew time, 3 p.m. Roman time, and Jesus is buried, and the tomb is sealed at sunset. So that begins the first night. Now let's count the 3 days and three nights, first of all, very clearly. The first night then is here, which then is Wednesday night, April 5th. The first day is then Thursday, April 6th. The second night is Thursday, April 6th. The second day in the tomb is Friday, April 7th. The third day in the tomb is Friday, April 7th. That's the third night, rather. And then the third day on Saturday, April the 4th, is the third day in the tomb. The resurrection is at sunset. Now, we have, let's go back and see this again. 1, 2, 3 nights. Let's go back and look at the days. 1, 2, 3 days. Yet, in Luke 24, we find in Luke 24, 13 through 24, which we've already read, that on the day portion of Sunday, the two disciples that he met along the way said that this is the third day since all these things were done. Now let's go back and see the other things which were done after Jesus was buried, because the statement "all these things" includes that, as we will see in just a minute here. All right? Now, the morning after Jesus was put in the tomb, the Pharisees went to the chief priests and Pharisees secured a guard for the tomb from Pilate. So that's one of the events. Now, this happened on the day, on the morning after Jesus was put in the tomb. Then we come to the next night. Nothing happened that night. But after the holy day Sabbath is over, the women buy spices. So that's part of what occurred. They went and bought them after the Sabbath was over. Which then this day, the holy day, the first day of unleavened bread, as we saw, is the first Sabbath in the week, because there's the holy day Sabbath and then the regular weekly Sabbath in the week in which Jesus was crucified. Now then, let's come back over here to Friday, which is the preparation day for the weekly Sabbath. And they prepared the spices and ointments, Luke 23:56. Now that was the last thing that was done. So we count this day, and we will see that the third day explained in Luke 24:13-24 is not the third day of the resurrection, because he was not resurrected on Sunday, but at the end of the Sabbath. So this third day has to include those activities which were done on Thursday and Friday. So then we count from Friday, including Friday, and we have one day. Weekly Sabbath is 2 days. Sunday, which was the wave sheaf offering day, or the first day of the week, is the third day. And this is when the disciples came to observe the tomb and so forth. And then I have it right here. Jesus goes along with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So this is one, two, the third day, not having to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ after 3 days and three nights. So you cannot say at all whatsoever that Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. If he were resurrected on Sunday, then he would have to have been in the tomb 4 nights and 3 days. But he was in the tomb 3 nights and 3 days. Now also, let's look at this graphically. If Jesus were crucified on a Friday, we have right here, Friday, and he was put into the tomb at sunset, right here, here's Friday, beg your pardon. This is Friday. This is Friday daytime, this is Friday night. Let's go back here. If he were crucified and put into the tomb on Friday, then there's no way you can have 3 days and three nights of Jesus being in the tomb. You have parts. So what you would have is this. You would have, this would be the first night, this would be the first day, and then this would be the first night, or the second night, and he would be resurrected on the second day. So he'd only be in there 2 days and two nights. But not even 2 days. He'd be resurrected at sunrise right after. So it's 2 nights and 1 day. He would not be in the tomb full 3 days and 3 nights. Now, if he were not in the tomb full 3 days and 3 nights, then Jesus Christ is a liar. And if he lied, then he can't be a savior. And if you believe the lie of a Friday crucifixion and a supposed Easter sunrise resurrection, you believe a lie. And if you believe a lie, Jesus is not your savior in whom you profess to believe and expect salvation. It won't come that way. The true facts are laid out here for everyone to see the way that it really should be. There is no other way it can be. So there it is graphically. The third day in Luke 24:13-24 is 1, 2, 3. Friday, Sabbath, first day of the week. And that's how that is explained. The overseas offices are as follows. Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, it is Post Office Box 445, Bundoora, MDC, Victoria, Postal Code 3083.